This is Jay Sekulow. We're going to break down Joe Biden's scary State of the Union address, including his horrific attack on the Supreme Court of the United States and the justices.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
You know, yesterday's State of the Union address, I'm going to just tell you, I thought it was scary. I thought it was frightening. And I think on the Israel stuff, especially this issue with Gaza and moving this, building this pier to nowhere and into Gaza, it could start World War III. I mean, I think we got a lot of problems here. I want to get everybody's reaction. We're going to first start, Logan, talking about the Supreme Court, though. I want to just kind of go around the horn here before we play the bite. Well, maybe we should play the bite. This is what he said, President of the United States, with the Supreme Court sitting in front of him.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you've arrived at.
Reminds me very much of Chuck Schumer. Do we have that bite? We're going to find that bite, too. I'll play it a little bit later. Threatening the Supreme Court like that, I thought was, Andy, outrageous.
It was outrageous. It was despicable. It was reprehensible. It was everything that a president of the United States should not do. This is a co-equal branch of government. Article 3 of the Constitution established the judiciary. Here, the president of the United States, in front of all the justices but three of the Supreme Court of the United States, who cannot answer back. They have to sit there mute. They cannot answer. He basically threatened them because of a decision that they wrote, which in my view was a correct decision because the Constitution is devoid of any provision about federal abortion. But intimidating those justices when they could not open their mouths in defense of themselves is about the lowest thing you can do, in my opinion.
And then threatening them, they've got political power. They have political power. They can't unseat a life-tenured Supreme Court justice.
No. Yeah. And it's also disgusting to me because he uses it as women, you know, that the justices had stated that women have electoral or political power, and a threat as if women don't like what the Supreme Court did. Well, I will say as a woman, I am thrilled with the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs. And so he's definitely not speaking for me.
Logan, what was your reaction to it?
Yeah, I thought, like you said, that was horrifying. I think it was one of the worst I've ever heard in terms of, I actually was, you can hear me yesterday, giving a bit of benefit of the doubt. I thought you're going to have him come in very well prepared and kind of nail it. Just go through a teleprompter speech, not have much problems. But I'd say that was the goal the first 10 minutes where he was, you know, amped up and screaming. Clearly the note was go out there and scream. And if you do that, you can at least show that you have energy. So he went out there and screamed. And then when he started to run out of energy, it's like, you know, he started becoming like a two-year-old who runs out of energy, doesn't want to admit it, starts screaming more and more and more. The problem was it got more terrifying, more scary as it went on. And even the exchanges that then happened later on between the Republicans and even the Gold Star family member got very heated in that moment. And there were moments I genuinely felt, you know, I would have been nervous to have been in that room. It didn't feel safe.
It was hostile.
It felt hostile. And not in a UK Parliament kind of let's scream
funny
at each
way.
Other way.
Yeah.
Like it felt like this is a very dark, dark moment for the country. And I hated feeling that way. And then I watched the responses after and seeing like the liberal press, you know, praising it as this amazing piece of you know, American history. It was laughable and again disturbing to show sort of the echo chamber we live in. And followed up later on with a Republican response, which we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk more about that. Let me tell you what we did do yesterday. We filed a lawsuit in federal court against that Lake Central School District. That's the school district, of course, that aggressively told students to not pray. The coach threatening not to let them see him doing that again. We have gone to federal court now to protect their rights. That's why your support of the ACLJ is so important, whether it's defending these students, defending Israel, or going to the Supreme Court of the United States, dealing with issues like Roe versus Wade. The ACLJ is there. We are now in our Life and Liberty Challenge. Any amount you donate will be doubled. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Have your gifts doubled now, and that will make a big difference. We'll be back with more in a moment. frightening. That's why kind of the Obama speech was very similar about 12 years ago on these attacks on the Supreme Court. And Andy brings up a really good point. We're going to play the Chuck Schumer sound. We're going to play the Biden sound. We're going to play the Obama sound. But before we do, the direct attack on the Supreme Court was aimed at Roe versus Wade. But you made up a very good point, and that is they can't really say anything back other than their opinions.
This is an attack on Biden's part of a coward. Biden is a coward. You make an attack upon an institution that cannot reply, that is limited to what they say in writing in their opinions, and you looked at those pitiful justices, I thought, and pitiful in one sense that they couldn't talk, but strong in the fact that they were sitting there just staring because they were intimidated or attempted to be intimidated by no less than the President of the United States, and they couldn't speak back.
Let's first play again, for those that are just joining us, this is what Joe Biden said last night about Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court with the justices in front of him.
It's a decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court majority wrote the following, and with all due respect, justices, women are not without electoral power. Electoral or political power. You're about to realize just how much you were right about.
So what I didn't like about that was, he could have said, I disagree with the court's opinion in Roe versus Wade, but with due respect to the justice sitting in front of him, and then he threatens them with, you're about to see what their political power is. Cece?
Which is, again, ridiculous because we don't vote for any justice of the Supreme Court. So I don't know what the threat is, that we're going to vote them out,
I guess
then
he's talking about
Biden,
you know,
back in and what he'll do to them.
Getting Biden back into
it's a
justices.
Threat, absolutely. But again, as a woman, he doesn't speak for me.
All right.
It's also because he was making statements specifically saying we're going to essentially codify Roe into the Constitution, saying, you know, we're going to go above you.
Yeah, basically we're going to ignore what you just ruled.
Right.
This is not the first time that these threats have been made against justices of the Supreme Court. Let's go to Chuck Schumer's.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price. You won't know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions.
So if you decide the case the way we don't want you to, a whirlwind's going to happen, and you're not going to know what hit you. Now, this is the Senate Majority Leader. He was then the ranking member, the highest member of the Senate. This is a direct threat again to the Supreme Court, and you think about what then happened to Kavanaugh with the attempt on his life and all the protests that were going on and this callousness in which the way they do it, Andy.
Well, this is fomenting rage, and this is something that Schumer's good at doing. He's been doing it for years and years and years. He did it then as minority leader when he was not the majority leader. But you call out the justice by name. Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, you've released the whirlwind and you don't know what'll hit you. What you're doing is saying we're going to come after you and you're not going to know how or where it's going to come from. What a thing to say to a Supreme Court justice who cannot defend himself.
And of course, then they leaked, or somebody leaked, the opinion in Roe versus in Dobbs, which overturned Roe. But so they're doing this, CC, both as a political mean, but also they're trying to intimidate the court.
Yeah, well, we've seen him do it before, so I'm not shocked that they're trying it again. And he did it while they were sitting right there, speaking right to them. You know, he basically says, with all due respect, which obviously he has no respect for them, because he threatens them during his State of the Union speech, which is despicable.
Not the first president that's done that. Let's listen to what Barack Obama said several years back.
With all due deference to separation of powers, last week the Supreme Court reversed a century of law that I believe will open the floodgates for special interests, including foreign corporations, to spend without limit in our elections. I don't think American elections should be bankrolled by America's most powerful interests, or worse, by foreign entities. They should be decided by the American people. And I'd urge Democrats and Republicans to pass a bill that helps correct some of these problems.
Okay, so that's, of course, it was the Citizens United case. But you know what, Logan? It's a pattern and practice here of these presidents and Democratic leaders to try to intimidate the court.
Yeah, intimidate the Supreme Court, specifically when you haven't had maybe enough of justice turnover to sway your opinion one way or the other as it's become more and more political. But also hearing those speeches, honestly, I mean, Barack Obama, here's what you got to say, didn't agree with anything he said in that. But I missed the fact that he could go up and make a speech that I could actually understand.
You liked his delivery.
He wasn't screaming at me. So you know what? It's weird to say that after last night I missed Barack Obama, but that's absolutely true. Because last night left with such a bad taste in, I think, American people's mouth, just this rage and outrage, and not righteous outrage.
No, it was just mean.
Just being like, you know, essentially attacking the
nasty
American people. And I really hated it. I can't say, it was probably the worst one I've ever heard. I'll probably remember it forever. So maybe he got that across. It's actually, I'll remember where I was when I listened to this. And yeah, I probably missed 10 minutes of it putting my kids down. It's probably a lot of people did. But with that, I still feel like I caught up with what was going on. It was like I missed a whole lot because it was just a slurring rage for 2 hours or an hour and a half. And then to be half an hour late and then to walk 20 minutes to get to the stage, it was a waste of time and a political show. The most campaign speech I've ever heard as a State of the Union speech.
One thing became clear. He's really afraid of Donald Trump because he never called him by name. It was my predecessor. I think he mentioned it 12 or
a lot,
13 times. Yeah. I mean, he really was concerned about that, and he was trying to draw that juxtaposition. Let's go ahead and take Bill's call.
Yeah, we'll take Bill in Wyoming on line one. If you want to call in, love to hear your thoughts on the State of the Union. I'm sure you have your thoughts. If you even did watch, 1-800-684-3110, 1-800-684-3110. Bill, you're on the air.
Okay, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Personally, I felt like what one blogger said, and getting PTSD from the State of the Union scream. It sounded to me like a dictator is planning on packing the Supreme Court, if you ask me. It's scary.
Well, I wrote down, Bill, in our pre-meeting here was scary and frightening. That's the two takeaways I had from it, because not only in tone, but in substance, and we're going to get into this Israel situation coming up next, this pier that they want to build, which I think is like we're asking for World War III. But it was a very scary and tone, Cece, and a frightening statement.
Yeah, not only did he threaten, you know, the Supreme Court, but then he goes on to make sure that, listen, if Americans send me a Congress that supports the right to choose, I promise you I will restore Roe v. Wade as the law of the land again, which again is like Barack Obama. We're going to go around the Supreme Court and we're going to make the laws that we want to make, which we, of course, know that the Biden administration is very pro-abortion and that he's trying to run on that again.
And remember, they can do it. I mean, they could, if they had the House and the Senate and the White House, they could pass a bill that codifies Roe versus Wade. And that's not going to be overturned by the Dobbs decision, because Dobbs overturned dealt with a different issue, which was, can the state restrict abortion access? And then you got federal law coming in there. Then you got supremacy clause issues. It would be very complicated. It would not be so easy. So these threats that they're making actually could have a result. I also think it was frightening, as next time we're going to get into the Israel stuff. We're about to set foot in a disaster there, Andy, I think.
Well, I think so. When you talk about piers and flotillas and you're talking about getting aid and supplies, first of all, are you going to really get them to the people who need them, or is Hamas going to intercept them? Let's start with that. But you got the Corps of Engineers building a floating pier in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of the port of Gaza City in the Ramallah region of Gaza. And how are you going to get that those supplies across except by truck or by foot or by carrying them across? And you're making the American soldiers sitting ducks for the Gazans and the Houthis and whoever it is who's going to attack them. Do you think that Hamas and the Houthis and those who are sympathetic to the Iranians, their surrogates, are going to just sit there and watch American troops delivering aid and not do anything? That's stupid.
And I guess it's going to be brought in through the United Nations Relief Agency, which I need to let you know that we not only have a Freedom of Information Act demand out on that right now, but we are putting together a massive lawsuit against their C3. We'll talk more about that in the days ahead. But this is a good reason, Logan, for people to come alongside us and support the work of the ACLJ and our Life and Liberty Drive.
That's right. Be a part of this Life and Liberty Drive. We are involved in so many of the cases that you're hearing about each and every day. Whether you're watching the news, whether you're trying to stay informed, we're here for you. Whether that's defending Israel, whether that is our fight against the threats against even the Supreme Court of the United States you heard today. We ask you to support our work, and all donations made during our Life and Liberty Drive are matched and doubled. So any amount is doubled. ACLJ.org. Become an ACLJ champion while you're there, which is a monthly supporter that helps you fight alongside us every month and really creates a great baseline for us. This is very significant work, establishes a firm foundation for us going forward. and you can do it very easily. Go to ACLJ.org, have your gifts doubled.
You know, I want to say this too, also to our ACLJ members and friends that are supporting our work. You know, each issue that we're reading, you're reading about in the press, or you listen to that State of the Union speech, most of those issues, the American Center for Law and Justice is involved in front and center. Whether it's a situation in the Middle East, whether it was the fight for life, whether it's students we're representing right now. I mean, I could go through his entire speech to the border. The ACLJ is there, and we're there because of you. And that also includes, Logan, this broadcast. People need to understand when they're supporting the ACLJ, they're supporting this broadcast.
Of course, we have an amazing crew working on this show each and every day. We could not do it without your support. Again, this is not advertiser supportive. You heard advertiser local market. That's not for us. We only exist because of supports from the ACLJ champions and donors.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to turn our attention to the situation in Israel, because one of the things that came out in the State of the Union speech yesterday was the president really reiterating this whole issue of a pier in Gaza coming out into the ocean. Let's go ahead and listen to what he said.
Tonight, I'm directing the U.S. military to lead an emergency mission to establish a temporary pier in the Mediterranean on the coast of Gaza that can receive large shipments carrying food, water, medicine, and temporary shelters. No U.S. boots will be on the ground. A temporary pier will enable a massive increase in the amount of humanitarian assistance getting into Gaza every day.
Okay, well, first of all, there's going to be boots on the ground because the Army Corps of Engineers are going to be building this pier. It's going to attach to a port of entry in Gaza. And the Houthis aren't going to care if they're on a pier or if they're on the actual land, okay? It's going to be an attachment of Gaza. Everybody wants to help with food and aid, but the problem is you got the UN relief agencies, the one that's going to be distributing this, who are about to sue. Jeff Balaban, who runs our office in Jerusalem, is joining us. Jeff, what was your reaction to that last night?
Well, he just threw Israel under the bus, let's be very clear, in its entirety. And the fact is that the notion of a port in Gaza with a port also in Cyprus, which the Israelis have been discussing for years and years, maybe a decade, in order to make life better for the same Gazans who are hell-bent on destroying Israel, is something that's already been under discussion. The idea that America is going to make a military operation out of it, frankly, what they should be using any port in Gaza for, is to get non-combatants out of the war. That's what happens in every country around the world, in every conflict around the world, except in Israel, where the Biden administration is insisting, along with Hamas, in bottling up non-combatants in a war zone so that Israel can take the heat. This is all pressure on Israel. The idea that we are responsible for humanitarian aid to Gazans, as opposed to actually helping them get out of there, is all of this is 100% inimical to Israel's survival.
So, Jeff, then I think the next question comes, because as soon as you put U.S. troops, they got to be built. It can be built by the Army. The Army Corps of Engineers builds these things. Logan, we talked about this before. They could get it done in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I think they probably have the systems ready to go in and do this. But the idea of no boots on the ground, you know, what does that even mean when your boots are just slightly off the ground? It's still creating targets, and it could be a massive disaster.
And as Jeff said, I mean, it's the biggest problem for the civilian situation is getting that population under control and getting them protected. But Hamas isn't going to let them get protected. And I think this is just an entry point for more terrorists to go after the United States, Jeff. That's what I think. Directly, the big Satan right there. We're walking into it.
That's right. And it's worth reminding everyone all the time that Iran, who is backing all of this, who's funding all of this, and now with money that this administration has been just shoveling at Iran, they have been in search of nuclear weapons, and they already have ICBMs. You know, intercontinental ballistic missiles are not necessary to reach any part of Israel, but they are necessary to reach every part of America, and Iran is in the market for them, may already have some. And so all of this on a geopolitical front is dangerous for America. And upping America's own military involvement, as you're pointing out, is very foolhardy for American interests. Israel has not wanted America to be involved in this. Israel wants to be left alone to fight its own fights, to defend its own people. It does not look for America to get involved in this way. This just ratchets it up. And you know, Jay and Logan, you know what's going to happen. If, God forbid, no matter what happens, America will be blamed and America will be targeted, and therefore it'll be Israel's fault.
Chip, the other thing I'm worried about is you've got, look, I mean, a gateway to World War III, and I hate even saying that, is not difficult to see in these situations because it takes a spark that ignites the whole region and then the rest of the world.
That's right.
I feel like we're walking into this one here. You know, Hamas has turned down the proposal for a ceasefire. People forget this. All these protesters are saying we want a ceasefire. Hamas has turned down the proposal for the ceasefire, which would have been releasing the hostages. They refused to do it. So Israel's going to have to continue doing its military mission. I don't think there's any question about it. But then to put the U.S. troops right there in easy reach, I think is just really dangerous.
Jay, it's nothing to laugh about, but I just saw a clip of a Muslim comedian calling Biden Osama bin Biden. And he said, Osama bin Biden and Kamala Hamas, he said, it looks like they're trying exactly what you're saying. From both sides, it looks like they're trying to create World War III. It's like that they are picking wars with, or picking fights with China, with Russia, and now with Iran. And every step they're taking makes it worse. And let's also contrast this, Jay, with the immediate predecessor in the White House, where peace was breaking out all over, where Israel historically was being normalized, where people were desperate, their enemies were desperate to become their friends. And all of a sudden, thanks to this administration's reckless, feckless policies, the exact opposite is happening. And as you say, Jay, it is leading, God forbid, to what could be World War III.
What do you think, Logan, I'm thinking of your generation's reaction to all of this.
I mean, you can see the protests also that happened last night.
Stop him from going in.
And there's a lot of thoughts that did occur. The reason that he was 20 or 30 minutes late was because they had blocked the roads. They took alternate routes that took longer to get around protests. When it comes to my generation, I'm not as concerned about the 40-year-old. I feel like they have a better idea of what's going on. I am concerned about the college and 20s, early 20s, because I think that Israel has lost a lot of footing with them just due to the mainstream press. But we knew this was coming. It's been like this for decades. I mean, I feel like there are so many times, whether it was CNN, but now CNN has been extrapolated to every social media platform that people are on all the time. And then there was the hot mic moment where he talked about last night where President Biden, someone came up to him and said, I told BB, and don't repeat this, that you're going to have a come to Jesus moment. That happened last night on the floor. So you're getting mixed signals. But it is interesting to see, talking this big game, President Biden talking this big game about how he is the most supportive of Israel in the history of all people. And on the other hand, essentially buying into a lot of the propaganda and admitting to a lot of the propaganda within the speech.
So, Jeff, what do you think the next move needs to be in the situation as it sits right now between Israel and Hamas and Israel and Hezbollah and Israel and Iran? We only got less than a minute here.
I'd like to look at this geopolitically. Israel is obviously very concerned and very aware that the threat from the north is actually far outweighs the threat from the south. And as horrific, truly horrific as what happened in the south was, the north is, because of Hezbollah and because of all of the arms that it has, is even more dangerous for all of Israel. But geopolitically, the big picture is Israel is suffering from an American administration that everyone admits is focusing on a small domestic political issue, and by doing so, throwing its great ally under the bus. The entire Middle East sees it. The entire geopolitical leadership of the world sees it. And so Israel's in a moment of extreme danger, thanks to the occupant of the White House, for completely amoral domestic political reasons.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. We appreciate it. Of course, we've got an office in Jerusalem at the ACJ. If you want to talk to us, we want to know your reaction to the State of the Union coming up in the second half hour of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Your reaction to the President Biden's State of the Union message yesterday. And Logan, great time for people to support the ACJ. And we got a lot of people watching on our social media right now.
That's right. A lot of you are watching. If you're brand new to the broadcast, I'm going to ask you just to subscribe. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching on Rumble, subscribe. That would be really helpful for us. You get this broadcast each and every day and tons of great video content into your feed. But if you're not new, and you've been around for a while and you enjoy the content you get here, you enjoy the work we do, we encourage you to go to aclj.org right now during our Life and Liberty Drive. Make a donation. Each donation is doubled. So that means if you give $20, there's another donor out there ready to match that at $20. And this helps our very significant work that's going on right now all around the world, as you can see. Again, go to ACLJ.org. We'll be taking your calls also in the second half hour, 1-800-684-3110. Stay tuned.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We want to get your reaction to President Biden's speech. First, there was the attack on the Supreme Court because he didn't like the decision in Roe versus Wade being overturned in the Dobbs case. Okay, that's fine. And then, Logan, it was this absurd idea of building a pier for aid on the Gaza Strip with American soldiers.
Yeah, and it was beyond that. Like, we played a clip from Barack Obama earlier, which was just as threatening, I feel like, to the Supreme Court, but done in a way that maybe is a little bit more tolerable and palatable. It was the least palatable speech I've ever heard. We have a call. Let's go ahead and take it real quick. Gary from Florida. I'd like to encourage all of you to call in with your thoughts as well. As well as we're going to talk about the Republican response. Let's go to Gary in Florida. You're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I'm Gary. I'm a Vietnam veteran. I love our country.
Thank you for your service, Gary.
Heard these terrible things last night, and I'm wondering why these direct threats against the Supreme Court, just the way they handle threats against Kavanaugh, they're not really taking that seriously.
Yep.
Why is that not called insurrection when Trump merely said, go down there and let your voice be heard, but do not be violent, don't give, and he's an insurrectionist, but what's being said here by the president last night sounds to me like real insurrection, attacking another part of the legitimate government of our nation.
So I don't think either one of them reached the level of insurrection, what Trump did or what Biden did. What they did, though, it's this intimidation technique, which the Democrats have been doing at the Supreme Court for about 4 years now. You saw it with Barack, well, more than that, because you got to go back to Barack Obama did it.
2010, yeah.
In 2010. Then you had, of course, Schumer doing it a few years back before the overturn.
Real threats, like you said, to Kavanaugh.
Then you had Kavanaugh actually have a death threat. I mean, actually an assassination attempt.
Yeah.
Guy with a gun at his house. And then they double down on it again. Joe Biden does with the Supreme Court there last night, as if they don't have enough problem as it is. That's what I don't understand. Why would you, if you want to say I disagree with the court's decision in Dobbs, and if you want to give me a decision, you want to give me legislation, I'll do it. But to attack the court like you did with them sitting there.
Well, it got a huge pop from his base. I mean, that's you saw. I mean, that's what it was all. All it was popping the base, getting them to be excited or somehow motivated. Because right now he knows that he's down. He's down in a lot of these states. He's down in states where, how many people in Michigan, what was the percentage that voted undeclared or undecided? Like a ridiculous percentage. He knows he has to win these people back over. So what's he going to do? Play all the hits. Yell at the Supreme Court, threaten everyone, while not even acknowledging the own problems that we're having, and giving no real sense of hope for a future either. I got to be honest, that was maybe my concern too. I don't want to be lied to and told that everything is rosy. I think some of the complaints of the Republican response was, oh, it was very bleak. Well, yeah, we're living in a pretty bleak time, people. I don't want to be lied to.
I thought Senator Britt, Katie Britt, did a very good job. Now, you said you liked it too, but you said getting a lot of
getting mixed reviews. I loved it. I thought it was fantastic. I think it was unique. It was different. It was something we have never seen before, and you'll remember it. Unlike every other response, other than Marco Rubio,
which is usually a disaster. I mean,
other than Marco, which we all remember
because of the water.
Other than that, do you remember really any of the responses? This one done at a kitchen table in Alabama. I was first going, okay, where are we going to go from here? And I'm a little biased. I've liked Katie Britt since her beginning of her campaign. But I really thought it was powerful. I thought it was powerful statements. And sure, it did not give a rosy look at America. But guess what? If you got parents of young kids, it doesn't feel like a rosy time in America. There's not really a lot to smile about when you're dropping your kids off at school every day. It is a concerning time. And I thought she did a good job of handling that and saying, we have to course correct. We have to change. People thought maybe it was too performative, felt a little bit dramatic, but I hate to break it to you. If you ever see a speech given by any of these presidential candidates or you know, senators or whoever, it's all performance. It's all fake. They didn't write those words. They're performing it the way they think you may enjoy it, but guess what? It's not them. So I thought her coming at it from a different point of view was great. I think there's some deep-rooted issues also in the Republicans and the Democrats.
Yeah.
We're just talking about, honestly, young women who are young, powerful women who do a great job in this. And I think that maybe we need to keep an eye out for that as well, trying to progress the party forward.
Folks, we're in a nationwide and global battle for life and liberty, and we can't continue these critical fights without your help. You know, we filed a lawsuit yesterday. We're going to talk about it coming up in Indiana for students. We're defending Israel. We're fighting at the Supreme Court. Have your support doubled at our Life and Liberty Drive. Go to ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. And become an ACLJ champion. That means you stand with us each and every month. We encourage you to do that. That's very significant for our work. ACLJ.org. Back with more in a moment. All right, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Let's talk about federal court because last night, as I said we would if it was not resolved, we filed a lawsuit on behalf of students in Indiana. Now, we need to be clear, Logan, on what happened here. These students are members of the track team.
Yeah.
And they got together and they said a prayer. It was student-led, student-initiated. There were no adults involved. The coach saw it, told them to stop it, and then said, I better never see you do this again. And this created a whole... So we notified the school district, which did not respond to us prior to the track meet yesterday. The students did not pray. You've got the last on that. And we're in federal court right now. We filed. Go ahead, Cece.
Yeah, so it doesn't look like the coach has received the message yet. There was a track meet that was held yesterday, and you know, because they had been told, don't let me see you do that again, and the school had not, you know, given them any indication that, of course, you can pray, of course, that's protected under the Constitution, you know, their speech was chilled. And even in some emails that followed, just some updates, you know, from the family members. It seems like the coach, he's kind of really doubling down. He has told them that basically all they can do is this moment of reflection, and it should be limited to, you know, half a second, like a moment of silence. And even when he spoke to them yesterday after all this broke out, he doubled down with that, saying, we can do a reflection whenever, wherever, and with whoever, but just the reflection.
So here's what's interesting. We were in contact with the school superintendent. We got no response. Then we get the students get a response from the director of athletics, who acts like we allow students to pray, which they don't. These students have been told they could not pray. So this is what they're saying. It says our student athletes may gather in any student-led prayers they've done in the past. Well, no, they haven't done it in the past. That's what started this lawsuit, director of athletics. And then they supposedly told the coach to allow it. At least that's what we're surmising. Then the coach comes back, who's already defined, and we have this in our lawsuit, that what he means by prayer that he'll allow is a moment of silence, like a half-second moment of reflection is what he calls it. And that's actually, and he put that, our client told us that they can do whatever, whenever, and wherever they want, this moment of reflection. But again, they're not allowing the students to pray. So we're in federal court on that right now.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll see, you know, hopefully when this gets to the right people and they understand what's going on, that we will see a quick resolution. It's sad, though, that we are in 2024 and we're still having to inform schools that student-led prayer is constitutional and you can't have some track coach or teacher, whoever it is, stopping students from praying and threatening them to say, don't let me see you do that again. That Logan, is not allowed.
We've only won this since 1990.
Yeah.
I mean, this is what's like absurd here. We've only won this since 1990.
And the truth is, a lot of these cases come about and they go away very quickly because we notify a school. The school goes, oh, I was unaware, because a lot of them do not know the law. And it goes away and everything's taken care of. In this situation, though, it's getting a little hot. As they say, every day it's getting a little bit more intense. And sadly,
we live in a very weird time
where things could shift on a dime.
Well, we just got a note, I guess, Abby Sutherland from our office, one of our lawyers, got a email from the school superintendent saying, hey, we're getting a lot of heat here. Of course they're getting a lot of heat. You told students they couldn't do it. So of course you're getting heat.
Yeah, they don't realize there are organizations like ours that are going to actually put legitimate lawyers on them immediately and not charge these students anything, because that's what we could do here. We're not charging anyone for our legal services. And when you don't charge someone for legal services and you have the top minds on it, guess what's going to happen? You're going to feel the heat.
Yeah, no question. All right, we got a lot of calls coming in. Yeah. Let's start taking those.
Yeah, a lot of these have to do with Israel, Hamas, and the speech yesterday. So let's just go through them. Tim in Colorado, line one, you're on the air.
Hey, Tim.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
My question has to do with this planned flotilla that President put forth. If that's put into place, And resources are delivered to Gaza. And it's shown that those resources are diverted to Hamas.
Yep.
Since Hamas has declared the United States its enemy, could providing such resources be considered aiding and abetting an enemy of the United States?
We could be aiding. You know, you bring up a very good point. We could be providing aid and comfort, so to speak, to the enemy because Hamas steals the food. Now, maybe they'll have something in place. Maybe they won't. I will tell you this. We are preparing a lawsuit against UNRWA, at least their nonprofit portion of them. But the caller's call is legitimate because we know the fact of the matter is that this stuff has been taken. The people aren't getting the food.
Absolutely. It's all optics. This cry for humanitarian relief, Israel has wanted to allow it. There has been humanitarian relief ready to go, and even the humanitarian relief that gets in never gets to the Gazans. Hamas takes it every time, and that's part of their plan to see, oh, look how Israel is, you know, starving these people. No, it's Hamas that's stopping any aid from getting to their own people, which we know they do because they even use them as human shields.
All right, we'll continue on. Let's go to Phil, who's calling in New York on line two. Phil, you're on the air.
Hey, Phil.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for taking my call. Sure. My question is, why do you think Hezbollah has pretty much stayed out of it to this point?
I'm worried that what Hezbollah is going to do, because they have the capacity to do this, is a mass attack in the north. I'm on conference calls and Zoom calls with our colleagues in Israel.
Right, that you don't hear a lot about what's going on the other side of the country.
It's not that nothing's happened. There have been
little things
random
there, yeah.
Stuff. But when, as you know, because you've been up there, Logan, when Hezbollah attacks, it's not Hamas. You're talking hundreds of thousands of missiles that are target guided that can reach all the way to Jerusalem and Tel Aviv. It's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah, it's a different world there. So maybe they're trying
their best. It literally escalates it to a totally different level. And I'm afraid that we're going to see that in April.
Why do you think they have stayed mostly out of this at this point?
Because they want to keep Israel deflected in Gaza. Because there's only a certain amount of troops that the Israelis have. It's about 400,000 civilian troops. It's a volunteer army, basically, reserves. And there's only so many ground you can cover. But I'm very worried, and the Israelis are too, that there's going to be a major conflict in the north with Hezbollah, and they are also Iranian proxy.
All right, let's go ahead and keep going on. Let's go to Joanne, who's calling on line 6 in Ohio. And if you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110. I'll still love to hear your thoughts on the State of the Union and the State of the Union response from Katie Britt. Joanne is calling from Ohio. You're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks for everything you do. I have a quick comment, and then I have a question. As a woman and a Catholic, Cece, I hear you all day long. And I'm sorry, Joe Biden shouldn't even call himself a Catholic at this point. I mean, it's disgusting. But my question is more about Israel and this whole thing with this flotilla. We've got American troops down there.
Yep.
Give me the dynamic if they get hit by a straight Israeli bomb or if they get hit by a Houthi bomb and we lose guys. I mean, there's two completely different dynamics there, and I just kind of want your take on it.
Yeah, I think putting American troops anywhere near this region right now is extremely dangerous. More so when you're attaching a flotilla, which will be built by the Army Corps of Engineers, basically a pier that's going to be built by our troops. They said yesterday there could be thousands of U.S. troops involved in putting this together. I think it's a recipe for total disaster. I think the impact on the troops, one stray bomb, like you said, could ignite, Logan, a conflict that we've never seen in our lifetime.
Yeah, so hopefully we won't have that happen.
Hopefully he stops this and the Army Corps of Engineers or the military says this is not the right mission for the military.
No, and I think a lot of people feel that way. Hopefully that gets the message across. However, what he's trying to do clearly is win over that 10-15% he's lost because they are pro-Palestinian activists, not just anti-Israel. These are people who are pro-Hamas and lost a lot of American. Look, sad to say, it's a lot of American voters right now.
But you know, the aid is going to be distributed probably by UNRWA, and that's a bad organization.
Yeah, well, we already know that UNRWA has direct ties to Hamas and that, you know, most of the UNRWA workers are part of Hamas, that they held hostages, that they participated in the attack on October 7th. And we've actually known that for a long time with the education They're training, you know, pro-Hamas education. And that's why places like Germany have pulled their funding. And the United States, to its credit, has pulled the funding from UNRWA officially.
But let's visualize this pier coming out of the, coming off of a beach. It's a beautiful area. Unfortunately, they've destroyed it, the Hamas. And the aid's going to be distributed. Who's going to distribute it?
Hamas agency called UNRWA.
Right.
That's who's going to distribute it.
That's the problem, Logan,
with
all of this.
It's terrible. It's not going to get distributed to the Gazans.
And by the way, we've got a Freedom of Information Act request out right now dealing with this whole funding of Gaza, of UNRWA. And we've got a lawsuit in the works on that, too.
That's right. And hey, we have about 1 minute left in this segment. Keep calling in 1-800-684-3110. We are in this nationwide global fight for life and liberty, and you can be a part of our life and liberty drive right now. We got lawsuits that were filed even late last night. We were talking about it with Indiana. We're continually in discussion, if you want to call it that, with what's happening. And look, that's the scope of the ACLJ, from the individual track team in Indiana all the way to the President of the United States, or all the way around the world in Israel. We are doing work on all levels. We can't do that without you. Because we want the best of the best. And do that, you got to pay the best of the best. We can't do that without your support. Go to ACLJ.org. Again, that's ACLJ.org. Phone lines are jammed right now. We're going to take as many calls as we can. So keep calling 1-800-684-3110. Scan that code on your screen. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Secular. We're going to take your phone calls. We got so many lined up. Give us a call, though, 1-800-684-3110. It's 1-800-684-3110.
No, I thought Harry was coming in, but maybe not. Let's go ahead and take a call.
Yeah, let's go ahead. Let's go to Susan, who's calling in Maryland. On line three, you're on the air, Susan.
Well, I just, victory for ACLJ. I think that Biden's unhinged response last night to the Supreme Court was due to the unanimous vote to protect Trump or any nominee president on the ballot. And I also remember, didn't Hillary Clinton become unhinged one time in a presidential campaign, and that worked against her as well?
Well, you never know how these things play out politically, because like Logan said, and Logan's our media guy, he was playing to his base on this.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a campaign stop. Don't kid yourself.
Definitely was a campaign
speech. Maybe, like I said, more than ever. More than any State of the Union speech I've heard before, where it just felt like you could have not told me it was the State of the Union, dropped it and said this was a campaign stop, and that's what it was.
Harry, what was Harry Hutchinson, our director of policy, just joined? What was your take of it overall, the speech?
Well, I think initially Joe Biden was amped up, and he attempted to show energy. But then he transitioned into a fair amount of meanness and essentially declared that he was going to remain in an attack mode against the Supreme Court, against Republicans, and against American citizens, for instance, who have genuine concerns for the security of the southern border. Nonetheless, Biden attacked them for not fully supporting a $100 billion Democratic effort to strengthen the Ukrainian border. So one of the things that everyone should note with respect to Joe Biden is that he was inconsistent. In other words, there was no guiding principle. He claimed to support democracy, but nonetheless attacked the Supreme Court, one of the cornerstone institutions in the United States. So overall, I thought it was a missed opportunity, and it was a political speech.
Let's go ahead and take some calls.
Yeah, we got a lot of calls. Let's go to Greg in Indiana. Obviously, he's connected with what's going on. Greg, you're on the air.
Hey, Greg.
Hi, how you guys doing?
We're good.
I just wanted to call. I grew up in Muncie, Indiana, and when I first heard you guys say Central, I thought maybe you meant Muncie Central. I grew up in the 80s, I was in high school in the 80s. I played football. We would have prayer. I remember different times we lost some students there at the school, and we had a moment of the silence where people could pray. They don't mind teaching our kids disgusting things, tell them it's okay to be whatever they want to be, gay, lesbian, whatever. they just like the girl you guys defended.
Yeah, Greg,
out there.
We understand what you mean. That sometimes have changed the prayer stuff specifically. Let's go back to that. I think that there has been obviously the move in even the student-led prayer, and that is something we've been able to defend over and over again.
Well, we won it since 1991. Like, this is not new. This school district is just not. I'm reading an email that we just got. They're just, instead of just saying, hey, we got this wrong, we're going to correct this. Students have the right to pray during, you know, before their track meet together as students. It's constitutionally protected. It's not a reflection. It's not a moment of silence. It's not a half a second.
And it's been there for 40 years almost.
And
at this point
the law's been on the books at least since 1991. So we're
33 years. Yeah, 35
years. Jeez, that makes me feel old. But yes. I mean, you think about that and you say, what are they thinking?
No, and what's crazy is the coach seems to just keep doubling down. Instead of going to these students and saying, you know what? I'm so sorry. I had it wrong. Of course you can pray. I'm not going to stop you. Please forgive me for threatening you and saying, don't let me see you do that again because I was wrong. You can, of course, do that. That has not happened to date. Even with the federal lawsuit filed, that coach is doubling down that the only thing he's going to allow is a this reflection, half a second reflection. You can do that, though, whenever, wherever. Well, yeah, if it's a half a second, yeah. Pretty much you can do that whenever.
Well, Lake Central, you know, their superintendent is writing our lawyer saying we're looking for some help here to bring down the temperature with some folks who are extremely upset with our school staff members. Well, of course they are. They violated the Constitution. Next call.
All right, continuing on, let's go to Carlos in New York City. Carlos, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for having me on the air. I appreciate what you guys do to helping America, really, to help America be a great country. Everyone comes here, but no one from America wants to go nowhere else.
Right.
You know, also, there is a mole in this country, and the mole is to...
Carlos, did break? I think we may have lost you there. All right, let's move on. Let's go to Daniel, who is calling in Maryland. Daniel, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I was calling about, I am so angry about the situation with the building a pier in the Gaza Strip. Now, we have Pentagon officials who are experts at knowing whether or not this is safe or not.
Yeah.
Is the president ignoring their advice or what?
It's a good question. I'm going to Harry Hutchins. I think from a policy perspective, we think this is a disaster not waiting to happen. If we start doing this, we're going to be in the middle of this conflict. We'll have military engagement in this conflict. I don't know what his military has told him or not told him on this. I mean, the Army Corps of Engineers is very capable. They could build a pier in probably a couple of weeks. But the danger points of problems are logistically here are huge.
I think that's absolutely correct, but I'm also willing to conclude that Joe Biden is quite willing to ignore the military risk associated with building the pier because he's engaged in a political calculation, and the calculation is this may indeed help him with certain constituencies within the Democratic Party, particularly in the state of Michigan. But it's equally important for Joe Biden to note that simply adhering to a policy which may be supported by citizens in Dearborn, Michigan, ignores the fact that Joe Biden's policy with respect to electric vehicles is hurting him even more in the state of Michigan.
All right. We only have a minute and a half left. Do you want to try to take another?
Take Bob's call real quick.
Bob, quickly. Pat, sorry we didn't get you today. Bob, you're on the air.
Yeah, just wanted to say Biden's policy is surrounding Israel with the enemies of Israel. He's supplying them.
Yes.
He's supporting them. He's using diplomacy. He's protecting them.
This and now he's building a path to have our troops attacked. So we're building a pathway in. That's how bad this is, the end result. By the way, ACLJ front and center on this, too, because we're already on the whole situation with the UN Relief Agency. And that's the reason, folks, to support the work of the ACLJ, because we don't just talk about the issues here. We're engaged in them.
That's right. And you can get involved. We need you to. This is Friday. It's the end of our work week. This is a perfect time as we wrap up the first week of our Life and Liberty Drive full week. We want you to be a part of it right now. All you need to do is go to ACLJ.org. All donations are doubled. If you're watching right now on YouTube or on Rumble and you're new to the broadcast, you want to learn more, just go to ACLJ.org. Learn more about the organization. Don't just, you know, watch this broadcast maybe every once in a while, subscribe to the channels. Make sure you get it fed to you, because this is really great content that our team is putting out. You're getting great expertise. If you're watching right now, you can also scan the QR code. But all you need to do right now is go to aclj.org. All your donations will be doubled, which is incredible. It means if you give $20, someone else is matching that $20. A lot of those people are ACLJ champions. Those are people that give each and every month on a recurring basis. You can become one of those too. It's really easy. It's an opt-in, and you'll give on a monthly donation level that you feel comfortable with. And we can't do it without you. It gives us a great base. We're going to be back next week. Make sure you tune in. If news breaks over the weekend, obviously we will be here. Look out for great content coming out from the ACLJ team. Talk to you Monday.